Welcome back to Pancreas Pals,
a podcast by diabetics for diabetics.
I'm Emily, a writer and editor.
And I'm Miriam, a licensed mental health counselor.
We're just two women trying to live our best diabetic lives.
While it might not always be easy due to the literal highs and lows,
it always helps to have a Pancreas Pal to turn to. Hey guys, welcome to Pancreas Pals. Emily here. And this week's special guest is Anitika. I'm so excited to have you joining us. She's a fellow type 1 diabetic and an actress, advocate, all things athlete too. Like, what don't you do? Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I am so excited to talk to you about Dexcom, but also just really kind of get into life with type 1. So if you don't mind sharing your diagnosis story, that's how we usually like to kick things off.
No problem whatsoever. Okay, so I pretty much got this one in a bag. I've said it so many times that I'll try to keep it as short as possible. I was diagnosed September 17th, 2022. So a little shy of the 2-year mark. I was frequently urinating, super duper thirsty. About 7-8 Gatorades before bed was the new norm for me. I'm working out regularly while working remote and still on set with my gigs for acting. I didn't really think much of it. It lasted for about 3 to 4 months during the summer of 2022. I went to visit my mom, just a friendly hello in San Antonio, not too far from where I was living in Austin. And when I was over there, she said, "Hey, you know, you went pee at least 4 to 5 times throughout the night. Are you okay?" I was like, "Oh yeah, like that's normal, mom. There's nothing wrong with that." And she was like, "You know, I think you should just go to your PCP, get checked out, make sure everything's okay." And I was like, "Yeah, I got to get on the road. Like, I don't really have time for that right now." But she's like, really stressing the issue.
Moms are like, okay. Blessed.
Yes, they really do.
They know things are wrong before we do all the time.
Absolutely. Moms know best. So I go to my, actually went to urgent care because it was quicker. Just went in really quick, got some blood drawn. And the RN came back and asked me if I was diabetic or if I had ever been introduced to diabetes. And I was like, "Nope, not to my knowledge. Just coming to stop by and be on my merry way."
It's like plot twist, yeah.
Yeah, a big one. And this is just the beginning. So she says, "Well, you know, your number reads over 14 for your A1C because all we're getting back is high. We don't even get a number. And that means it has to be over 14. So we suggest you go to the ER, emergency room." And I was like, "No way. There's no way that's what's happening because I work out all the time. I drink water. I don't drink soda. I don't eat candy. Pretty fit person." She asks about my history, my family history. And I told her, "Well, my dad's type 2, which I knew barely anything about, but I knew they weren't the same. And I call a friend. I phone a friend who is an ER doctor in San Antonio. Like, "Hey, this is what I'm being told, girl. Is it true? Do I really need to go get these extra labs done?" She's like, "Yeah, you should go." She recommends which one I go to. The line was shorter. First time your friend in the medical field. I go there. And when I get there, again, blood drawn, all the things. I wait around. By then, my mom and daughter are there with me at the ER. And the doctor comes in very calmly and says, "I know you don't feel ill, but you are very sick." And I was like, "You sure?"
He's like, "'Cause I'm 5 times a night."
Yeah, I'm like, "Well, yeah, I've been, you know, urinating often and I'm pretty thirsty, but I'm thinking I'm just peeing so much because I'm so thirsty and I'm drinking so much." And he says that my A1C came back at 15 and I was in DKA. I don't want to butcher what DKA stands for because I always do.
You're good. I got you. Diabetic ketoacidosis is, for those who are pancreatically capable or just, you know, want a refresher, this means your blood is basically turning acidic due to all the excess glucose in your bloodstream because you are not usually producing. In this case, if you're in DKA, you're typically not producing or your body's not absorbing the insulin it is producing, which kind of floods your blood with the glucose and causes basically organ failure when it gets to the final final stage, which is why it's super important to catch it as early as you can. And as most of us know, especially those who have type 1, it's often not diagnosed until you're in the state, because as we're hearing from your story and as my story and so many others, it's so easy to explain away symptoms and just kind of like keep going because we're all survivors. So it's easy to do that. Okay, back to you.
Okay, thank you for that explanation, because I've been saying it wrong for a while. I think I've been telling people with like diabetic ketosis or something. So
it's really close. You're not, honestly, as long as you do the initials, you're good. I feel like most people are just like nod and smile when I talk about it anyways.
Exactly, because they don't know. Yeah. So I get diagnosed with that, and he explains to me that I need to go to the ICU as soon as possible in an ambulance is next steps. And that it was totally up to me if I wanted to go. And if I didn't want to go, I didn't have to go. But that's what he advised I do. And I was like, the ICU, like, I didn't even want to come here. So
you're like, I'm walking around. Why do I need the ICU? Also, medical bills. What the hell? That he's like, if you want to take an ambulance, where are we?
Like ambulance is like country? Red flag. Yes. I'm like, ambulance. I've been told that's like $1,000 plus just to get in one of those. And he did ease my mind with that one. So because they're forcing me to go to the hospital, this route, that's covered by them. So, okay. Well, then I started actually considering it. And I was like, especially in like the African-American, anytime it's like in an ambulance, unless I am dying, dead, stopped. Otherwise, put me in the back of a car, call an Uber, we'll get there, but don't you call an ambulance. So I guess if that's what I have to do, I'll do it. I literally got myself on the stretcher, just hopped up on there, which is nothing like what I would expect my first experience going in the ambulance. I just get on there, they strap me in. Sitting there like, is this really happening? I guess I couldn't drive, though, just to provide some context. I couldn't drive because of the DEA diagnosis and the liability, because I could drop into a coma at any moment, which I didn't understand the severity at the time. Now looking back, like, wow, I was really on the edge of a bad, bad day any moment. Feeling perfectly fine, by the way. My blood sugar level was 535. So, Emily, I'm sure you can also help me out with this one. But normal range is what, like 75 to 120?
It depends on who you ask. I say for non-diabetics and people without glucose issues at all, you're typically under 100. Normal range can range from like 70 to 100, but doctors have been upping it lately, like to like 110. I think naturally as humans, we're starting to become more insulin resistant. So that's a whole other discussion that I'm sure I'll get into in another episode with like an MD who knows actual things about this, because I'm not one. But I'd say 535 is easily 500 times, like, you know, like five times what it would want to be. We'd want it to be.
Right. So just to wrap up the story, I do go to the ICU. I stay there for 2 days, finger pricks the first 24 hours only to find out what average glucose is. By the time I left, I was averaging around 230, between 230 and 275 as my new norm.
I'm surprised before any food intake. Oh, can you hear me okay? Did I freeze?
No, I can hear you now.
Okay, good. I'm surprised they let you go in the 200s.
You're frozen. Okay, we're back. Me too, because that's still not very good. And when I left, I found out from my nutritionist who showed up to the doctor's office 48 hours later, briefly, with like a quick 5-minute rundown, a chart of food. Hey, these are carbs. This is what they do to your sugar. Just stay away from this. These are safe. Hey, we need you to prick yourself with this needle. Make sure you know how to administer your long-acting insulin. And I was let go to go be type 1 diabetic for the remainder of my life, insulin dependent forever. A lot of emotions, a flurry of emotions, sad, I was depressed. I felt defeated. I know how to feel at the age of when I was diagnosed when I right after I turned 27. It was the last thing I was expecting to hear. And I
Right.
didn't really understand in that moment how it was going to change my life for the rest of my life. But I knew that this was considered a disability that I now had to move through and maneuver life with and
As
learn
a
to either
mom.
accept as a mom, as a young mom. My daughter's 8 years old now, so she was six.
Did
She
she
was six.
understand what was going on? Was she in the ambulance with you?
She was not in the ambulance with me. They wouldn't allow anybody in the ambulance with me. They met me at the hospital. She was at the hospital. Thank God I have a great support system. Lots of So I had a every day I had at least 3 to 4 visitors there, just to be there for moral support while I went through this. I remember three of my friends were there when I did my first manual injection. That was hard. It took me about 30 minutes to just muster up the courage to do it. I
Right.
never pricked myself within. So I didn't know. I was terrified. I was like, this is probably gonna hurt, it's probably gonna burn.
I was like, you want me to do what?
Crying.
Like,
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
I'm
Real
sorry.
tears.
I have to actually like stab myself with this. What's going on?
Yeah. And my friends have all seen me in like set conquering school. I went back to school. I had just graduated with my master's degree, working two jobs at a time, whether it was, my 9 in accounting finance and then also coaching volleyball for 5 years to make ends meet. So they've never seen me cry. They've never seen me in the hospital. They never really see me at a low moment like before. So it's a very vulnerable moment for me. A very hard moment. Grateful for them and my mom for being there and my daughter for being there. My stepdad was there as well. But I did it. I was able to do the administration, did the injection so I could get the heck out of the hospital. The hospital's giving me heebie-jeebies. My daughter, she was crying immediately. She was asking me like 24/7, are you gonna die? Like, what's gonna happen next, mom? Like, I'm terrified, I don't know what to do. And she uses words like that. She has a huge vocabulary, very smart little girl. What can I do? So just to give you my story though, without going too deep into my daughter and how we tackle diabetes together now, that is my story, and that is how I found out I was type 1 diabetic.
Okay, first of all, so many thoughts. Mainly, our healthcare system continues to fail us in so many ways. And I'm so glad you're here. Like, holy moly, what a time. But how soon after this diagnosis were you able to get in to see an endocrinologist? Another question that I'm just going to roll off of that is, what tech was accessible to you at that time? What were you told? Obviously, most of us are started off on multiple daily injections, also known as MDI, and aren't given access to CGMs, continuous glucose monitors, right off the bat. But, did you see an endocrinologist right away, and did they offer these to you?
Yes, so great question. And I was very fortunate that I did everything in my power. I didn't wait around. And I would say anybody newly diagnosed, I would recommend do the same, because if you wait, because I think I was estimated wait time to see my endo out of the hospital was about 2 to 3 months. And I
Like,
was
how are
like,
you supposed
two
to
to three
live?
months?
But
Yeah,
also,
like
you're
that's a
given this
long
huge
time.
diagnosis, no tools. Like, you're not even given more than like what a carb is. And also, they're telling you information that's not up to date. Like, you can't eat this. And it's like, actually, you can do all these things. And I have a friend, I live in New York and in the city. I have a friend who was in the ICU and they like got diagnosed, was in the ICU with type 1. And they discharged her, and she was in the ICU for 5 days. She couldn't get in to see an endocrinologist for 6 months, and they discharged her. And she texted me because she knew that, this is someone that I knew from college. Shout out to Emma. She was like, "Hey, I remember you're diabetic. Do you have an endocrinologist that might be able to, see me?" And I was like, "Buckle up. We're going to get through this. Like, this is how you advocate for yourself. You got this." And she, we got her in to see one within the week. And it's like, in New York City, you'd think that there'd
You
be
would think.
one endocrinologist that can take you like same day or at least in the week. But like, I was at the hospital, I can't remember which one in the city, and they were just like, they discharged her. They were like, well, it was touch and go there for 5 days, but you're kind of, under 300 now. So here you go. And I'm like, what?
I hate to hear that, and it's scary to know that I wasn't the only person in that type of situation. I thought maybe I was just a one-off because the ICU is full of, like, gunshot wounds, right? There's people
Right.
who are terminally ill in there. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe they're just super packed, right? I get it. I don't want to be here. I'm going to get out of here as soon as possible. Let's get to your question because this is going to answer everything for you.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
We're going to continue the episode while we're both snacking on our low snacks because this is real. This is us. Please continue.
yeah. Absolutely, definitely life of type 1 diabetic firsthand. I got in within a week because I took the liberty to call all the endocrinologists in my city. And the first one to take me in is the one I went with. And thankfully, probably one of the best granular diabetes in San Antonio. And I was blessed with an endo who had Dexcom on hand day of my appointment. She showed me exactly what it does. She showed me how I put it on. So I got to put it on my very first appointment. She put a script in for me my very first appointment. She sent me home with supplies my very first appointment.
That's amazing.
So I was only doing finger pricks for about a week. Such a blessing. I can't imagine 10 years prior what that would have looked like for me. So thanks to my endo, I'm sorry, my critical alerts are going off. I want to make sure it's not chopping up my audio.
I actually can't even hear it, so you're good.
Oh, great. Okay,
Also,
good.
make sure you're
Okay.
good.
I'm now starting to know when I'm at a scary low versus a get your butt to something low. So I was at a get your butt to something low, and I'm still able to talk. So that's a good sign. I haven't started getting the freakish sweats in odd areas or the shape,
I
so
get the
I'm pretty
shakes.
sure.
I'm 10 years into type 1. I was diagnosed at 20, actually. So I was a later diagnosis as well. And I still get the shakes. I'm like hypo unaware, though, until, which is why my Dexcom comes in such great handy because I usually don't feel low until I'm already like until I'm 70, which isn't that bad, but I almost always have a lot of insulin on board every time. So by the time I'm 70, I use, my Dexcom's so great because I can catch it ahead of time. And I look at that trending arrow and I feel like, boom, I need to eat something because this is not going to play out the way I want it to.
Exactly. And it never happens when you need it to happen, right? Not that we ever want it to happen,
No, but
but for
sometimes you
me at
just
least,
like, you want an excuse to eat something and it's like, why is this not working on my
absolutely.
paper?
Absolutely. So, like you asked me, just to wrap that question up, I only went about a week with finger pricks before I ate, after ate, first thing in the morning, right before bed. It was horrid. I was miserable making up my chart, putting in my numbers. It just looked like a flurry of numbers, not understanding what any of these numbers meant, not really wanting to do finger pricks in the first place, upset. Stayed at my mom's house. I was like stationed there. She would not let
Yeah.
me leave.
Good. I mean,
Which
yeah, those bad fluctuations can really like, I mean, it's a fear that I talk about with my therapist who also has type 1 all the time is like being alone when having a critical low is something that I
Absolutely.
still grapple with. Like and when I'm watching my little niece, like I can't imagine being a mom as well and having to take care of another human while having to deal with like a blood sugar of 50 with like 5 units of insulin on board. I'm like, this is my fears manifest.
Yeah. Fighting for your life is what it
Yeah.
feels like. What it is. So Dexcom started for me a week into my diagnosis, changed my life entirely. So grateful. Like I can't even put it into words. Someone like me who, just like you, young, I've had the privilege to be able to eat a lot of great things in my life. I'm a foodie, love to eat, love to go out to eat. Love Sunday fun day, brunch, all the carb items, waffles, right? Had to cut that off slightly, working on new habits. Waffles, chips, macaroni and cheese, What else do I love? That's hard. Popcorn.
And again, like I've
Favorite.
found that you don't have to cut things out when you have. Sorry, we're big at on Pancreas Pals, not like cutting carbs necessarily, but being smarter about it. So I just always interject and,
Absolutely.
talk about it.
No, and thank you for doing that. Moderation, everything just in moderation, just like anything else, excessive can harm you, right? So I hope I answered your question. I
You
got into my
did.
endo
Are
within a week.
you on an insulin pump or do you still do MDI?
Yeah, no, I am on an insulin pump. I'm strictly on Omnipod
Okay.
majority of the time now. Yeah, and even that with the partnership with Dexcom and how they can talk to each other is miraculous. And for me, really saves the day because before I started using my Omnipod the way I was supposed to, I was using Afrezza, which is an inhaler, and also super innovative, right? Like this was nowhere to be found even a few years ago.
Yeah.
So I've been very fortunate to be diagnosed and have these high advanced technology, these products that I can use that make this a lot more seamless for me. I still hold myself very much accountable and I still monitor what I eat because the goal is not to be dependent on my products, right? My devices. I call myself Robo Girl. My friends laugh at that little
I always say I'm
insider.
bionic.
I
Yeah.
got my t Yes.
I'm bionic.
But I love when people ask questions. Like I've had strangers come up to me like, "Hey, what's that thing on your abs?" Like I wear crop tops, not ashamed of it. I still have my six pack. So I wear my
Okay.
devices. They're very visible.
I'm like over here
Very
with my one pack. Like, I mean, I'm not
Hey, you
ashamed of.
gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, I work for a health magazine in my day job, so it's like such a lull because I not only do I have type one, but I literally am not a fitness person. I mean, I know the importance of it, and I work out every day, and I think that that's like, keeps me sane and also helps maintain the blood sugars. But like, as far as because so you're an actress and you've also, been an athlete, are you still what are you doing now with being a type one and being an athlete?
So now I am a volleyball player. To this day, I played in college as well in Florida. I play sand most of the time now. The weather in Texas is amazing, so it really allows me to be outside playing my favorite sport almost year round. What I do is I try to eat a hearty meal before I go and play because I'm usually in the sand for a minimum of 3 hours in the sun on top
Oh
of
my
that,
gosh, in
so
Texas?
burning. Oh yeah.
I'm from
Oh yeah.
Florida
My foundation
originally.
regimen changes. Oh, are you? What part?
Jacksonville.
Oh, that's the one place I never got to visit when I lived in Florida.
It's head back to season one, episode one to listen to why it's not my favorite. I was misdiagnosed for a year with type two because I was like 15 pounds overweight, and they were like, "You're too old to have type one." Anyways, I'm third generation Jacksonville. It definitely has its pros, but I'm still working through the cons.
Wow. I am so sorry to hear that. And I know how frustrating that must have been because it's a totally different approach. I get calls almost daily from my dad now that I'm diagnosed with all the things I need to be doing, right? All the things I need to stop doing, all the foods I should no longer eat that he's still eating, still cooking during Thanksgiving. And my dad, he's not a certified chef, but when I tell you my dad can cook his tail off, oh my goodness. And every Thanksgiving, you better believe I am front and center at the dinner table. And he's still making all the things, all of the things, and eating all of the things, but preaching to me because he'll hear my devices beep. This happened actually, real story. Omnipod expired. And as we all know, if you have Omnipod on, how bad can be when it just is continuously beeping the stop. It doesn't stop
Yeah,
until you
it's the
discard
piercing
pod.
scream. It's what we call a screaming pod.
And he didn't
Course.
know about these devices. They weren't around when he was diagnosed. Back in the day, I believe it was called juvenile diabetes, type one was, because it was usually found in infants when they're first born,
Right.
little kids. And as time is, going on, like you mentioned earlier, adults are now being diagnosed with type 1. And I don't know the difference, 'cause I wasn't a kid, a little kid, but it is so hard now because I'm, like I said earlier, I had the privilege of eating all those things. So, and I'm sorry if I am, reiterating things you've already
Good.
said or
You're doing great.
going away from your question unintentionally. I am getting a little warm as we speak, waiting for the peanut butter to kick in. But, and I'm sure you can probably help me with that too, because as a newly diagnosed diabetic, I'm still learning to what I can take. I have no glucose, sugary snacks or treats around, like specifically for this. I don't own any yet.
Girl, we
I've
gotta get
been.
you. Okay, so for me, just because I am a business gal, like I go into an office, and when it's hard, it's difficult to snack on peanut butter if I'm about to head into a meeting. You know what I mean? Like I need to just throw something back and have it go up without. I work so hard. I never disclose my A1C, but I've been well below a 7 for years now because I work so flipping hard, and most of that is also in part to Dexcom and to using, looping with Omnipod. But I actually got below. I had one of my lowest A1Cs, mostly because of, not, it was well before Omnipod released I wasn't looping. I worked really hard, but my hot tip is glucose gummies. I live by these. I hate the chalky tabs. They taste so much better, and you only, it's 2 grams of carbs per gummy. So I have like, you can really kind of parse it out and make sure you're not overdoing it. They also taste really good though. So sometimes I do overdo it and I find I'm like not going back. But they're only like 15, no, they're 20 calories for 2 gummies. So it's really, it helped me kind of make sure I'm not, because I gained like 20 pounds after I was diagnosed, because I was in college and my blood sugars were everywhere while I was in college, and I was like not, I didn't understand, I wasn't doing the right things. But every body is unique, every person responds better to different glucose, but I need quick acting. Like I will eat my entire refrigerator if I can't get my blood sugar up within like 30 minutes. And on whenever I'm alone, like or taking care of my niece, I make sure that I run a little bit higher than my usual goal. So like I'll try to run around like 120 to 150, just because I worry. I'm a nervous Nelly. But I do think that, you've come so far. You know your body. No one knows your body quite like you do. I think this is hysterical. I've never actually recorded an episode where we're both low. Usually I'm going low or the other person's going low, but I'm actually quite low right now too. So I'm like SOS. I can feel it. I'm like starting to sweat, getting a little sweaty. Maybe this is
Where
the
do you
time.
sweat at? Just curious to know if it's similar
I've
places as
literally
me.
never thought about it. I just have accepted it. But now that you mention it, it's usually the back of my neck and like my knee.
So you sweat in really odd places. So for me, just like I do, for me, similar to you, such awkward and strange areas above my lip is usually the first indicator. In my growing area, this happened on a date once, and I had on like these super cute tight pants. Well, girl, I left looking like I went potty on myself because of how much I was profusely sweating in my growing area. It's like night and day. Like it happens, and when it happens, it doesn't turn off, right? So
It's like a
super
faucet.
embarrassing. At work. So at work, I am finally at the place where I feel comfortable enough to let them know what's going on.
Oh,
And
yeah.
typically, it's not because I want to.
No.
It's because my devices are beeping. They think I have a ticking bomb on me, and I need to
Oh,
explain,
God.
like, hey.
I've ridden the subway with when my Omnipod has gone off like a screamer, and everyone's been like, and in New York, it's terrifying. Like people are not messing as they shouldn't, as they should, I should say. And I've been like, I'm diabetic. And then everyone's like, oh, and I'm like, but also I'm okay. Thanks for asking. Like
Right. Because it sounds terrifying. Anytime something's beeping, the airport for me has been the
Oh
worst place.
no.
Going through security
Yeah.
with the beeps. I lost my PDM last Thanksgiving, and I was eating all the things my dad was cooking. So when it expired, I was at the worst possible place, trying to cover it up with my hand to kind of, minimize the volume. Having to
Yeah.
explain, like, I promise, like, it's just this. Like, they're like, no, don't take your clothes off. But I'm trying to show them, like, I promise, like, it's just this. So that was really embarrassing. I keep snacks on me now. It took me a while to understand the severity of just having a snack nearby at all times because of my busy life. I'm
Yeah.
always on go. If I'm not, dropping off my daughter at school, on set, in the office, I do work a hybrid model. So when I'm at home, easy peasy, right, to get on top of it. But at work, not the same. Having to leave meetings, explain to complete strangers what diabetes is and
Yeah.
why I have these devices on that are beeping and what these beeps mean, and promising to them, they're offering me, do you need a soda? Do you need an orange? Do you need a, and I'm just like, you just want to call it to a ball. Like, for me at least, I just want
Yeah.
to call it to a
But
ball.
also, like,
I
good on them
didn't
for
want to be
knowing.
there.
Because everyone's first reaction is like, oh, do you need insulin? And I'm like, no, that will kill me. I'm having a
No,
low blood
right.
sugar. But like, they don't know, the lack
And
of education out there on it is, it's not their fault. I mean, in the healthcare system, the lack of education is a different situation and that is problematic. But like, I always use this as a time to educate. We are running out of time and we are both low. So I feel like it's time to wrap this up. Is there anything I'll plug your Instagram. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about? I feel like this went by really quickly. We're both
It's
struggling.
so fast. Oh my goodness, so fast. I would probably just want to say that diabetes awareness is a big deal. You never know when somebody has diabetes, and they don't have to look like they have diabetes to have diabetes. But it's super important for us to continue educating, because those of us that are around us and people who don't know us, they really, really need to know, because someone in their family is guaranteed to have this diagnosis, if not now, possibly in the future. And understanding ways to prevent getting into the pre-diabetic stage so that you never get the diagnosis can really save a life one day. And the
Right, that's
expense
like
side, like you said, we don't have a lot of time to, we don't really have a lot of time to go into it. I was asked this once if I would ever change my diagnosis if I could, and I wouldn't. And I wouldn't, because there's this new era and generation of, like, soft girl life. Let's go out to eat. Let's do all the things. Let's get the fruity cute drinks. Let's get the TikTok coffees from Starbucks that are full of sugar. Not shading Starbucks, still drink Starbucks to this day and love Starbucks. Just being more mindful about our intake and how that really has an impact on the longevity of our life. So thank you for having me. That's the last thing I'll say.
Before we wrap up, a gentle reminder that everybody is different. The way everyone handles type 1 diabetes, any type of diabetes is different. So we are not giving medical advice, and what works for one person may not work for another. All right, now into my favorite part, my spiel. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at pancreas_pals, on Facebook at pancreaspalspp. Hit us up in our DMs. You can email us at pancreaspals123@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. You should definitely follow Anitika on Instagram at Anitika with like three A's. So AnitakaAAAA. Thank you so much for joining us, Anitika, and everyone go check out her accounts. She is an incredible actress, mom, and all around badass fellow type 1 diabetic.